Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Drove up from Youngstown, did you?
I did.
Oh, man. He's got quite a distance thing there, but
oh man, it's so far.
And he walks. No.
I'm out of breath. Actually, I left this morning.
You left it. Yeah, I don't think I would have made it. Anyway,
but I got my camping gear. I'm going to camp out on the, you know, before I go back tomorrow.
Yeah, good idea. And stay well hydrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the last, I don't know how many shows. Four at least. Yeah, we were doing Acts chapter 10. Peter going to Cornelius's house, and there was so much there, so much information and so much stuff you can unpack from that.
Very significant events.
Whoa. And yeah. After this whole episode at Cornelius's house, and they asked Peter to stay there with them a few days and to teach them, and they wanted to have the fellowship and the instruction. Now, Peter leaves there and presumably goes back to Jerusalem, and he has kind of an interesting experience with his brothers in Jerusalem. Maybe sisters too, but his brethren in Jerusalem, the believers, these are, they're going to kind of give him a hard time.
Yeah.
These aren't, this is not the Sanhedrin or the high priest and his band of colleagues. These are the believers who can't believe what they heard, that he actually went to Cornelius's house.
Yeah.
And this
cause kind of, for alarm.
Yeah, cause for alarm. And again, we kind of look at this and snicker, but from their point of view, this was radical.
Yeah.
Because this is something you didn't do.
Well, like we've always said, we said a lot, you know, this is happening in real time to them.
Yeah.
And they have a certain set of beliefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, within Judaism.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, they wouldn't go into, it would be unlawful for them to go into a Gentile person's home.
Yeah. Or have them in your house or.
Yeah.
So. Go to their prayer meeting.
So when they hear this, you know, when they hear what has happened, they have questions.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. What do you, Peter, what? Have you lost your mind?
Yeah. And so, and
basically,
and they take it out on him, interestingly.
Yeah.
So let's read it, and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
This is Acts chapter 11, so you can flip to it.
Starting at verse 1?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start reading.
Now the apostles and the brothers who were in Judah heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them?" Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. I also heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is I to be able to hinder God? When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too.
Wow. It'll stop there. Wow. That's awesome. So Peter has this amazing experience. They hear in Jerusalem that some Gentiles had received the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, they're also going to hear, even Peter and John are going to be surprised that Samaritans were coming to faith in Jesus. What's going on here?
When did that happen?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I mean, the woman at the well must have been ecstatic at that point.
Oh, yeah.
she's been a believer for a long time.
Vindication.
But now, Peter comes back to Jerusalem, you know, he goes up to Jerusalem. You always say you go up to Jerusalem. The circumcised believers, it says they confronted him. They didn't just say, oh, hey, man, good job over there at Cornelius's house. We heard everything went really well and that they're in the kingdom now and they're filled with the Spirit and they're praising. They confronted him saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that, Peter. But we understand not only did you go to their house, but you ate with them. And don't even tell me what you ate while you were there. We don't want to hear that because we can't handle that.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have had, you know, those bacon wrapped scallops or,
oh, geez.
They might have had shrimp or they might have had, and who knows? We don't want to even hear that, but the interesting thing here is that this is a confrontation. It isn't like a conversation or it isn't like, so you went over there, huh? How was that? No, they confront him and Peter has to explain kind of the whole thing. You know, he has the vision and the Holy Spirit says, go with these men. You know, he hears the Lord say, you know, you can't call this unclean anymore. I've made this clean. The animals are clean now. The Gentiles are clean now. These guys showed up at the door. The Holy Spirit said to go with them. They said Cornelius had seen an angel who said, go get Peter. And interestingly, it says that Peter was going to tell them the words by which you and your household will be saved. So that's pretty important information.
Yeah.
And these are Roman Gentile people. And now Peter is going to give them words through which they and their household are going to be saved. Then he says, as soon as I was talking, the Holy Spirit fell on everybody in the place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at verse 19, it's kind of neat, or 16, I mean, where he says, then I remembered the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, when the other paraclete comes, he's going to remind you of everything I said.
Yeah.
So now Peter says, I remembered the word of the Lord, because he's talking about Jesus now, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we saw the same Holy Spirit fall on these guys that we received at the beginning. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed, they believed, got the same Spirit, how can that be something bad?
And he says, who was I to be able to hinder God?
Yes.
You know, what I think about is when Jesus is telling Peter, when he's foretelling his death and his crucifixion, Peter gets up and says, no, Lord, I'll never let that happen to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus says, you're a hindrance to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is a total transformation for Peter because he's no longer hindering what God's doing. You know, as Jesus says, you're thinking as a human does and not as God does. You know, he's transformed by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit and his whole approach to the kingdom.
Yes.
Has been changed.
Yes. And these men, I mean, presumably they were men, these men who were, quote, confronting him now are convicted,
yeah.
which is the other work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They're convicted that what Peter's saying is right, and it says they were silent.
Yeah.
They had like nothing more to say.
Yeah.
How dare you go eat with these Gentiles?
Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. They have the same gift we have. They have the same salvation we have. They were silent.
Yeah. It doesn't say they asked him a couple questions.
No.
They confronted him.
No, that's right.
When you confront somebody, it's usually pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't get through their head that Peter had violated this law about associating with Gentiles. Peter's thinking, hey, I brought these Gentiles to salvation, and the same spirit that we had also fell on them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's astounding.
Yeah. Astounding. And this is, you know, the word is being spread now. And now where Peter had said in the last chapter, I see now that God shows no partiality. Now they have to start to think, well, wait a minute now. If Gentiles are going to be included in this, we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of Gentiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we better get our website up and we better start getting on the road
mm-hmm.
and buy some radio time. I mean, this is going to take a huge outreach.
Yeah.
But in the Great Commission, Jesus had told them that it's not going to be just in Judea and Samaria. It's going to be to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. You know, when Jesus tells the parable of the mustard seed, you know, he says it's the smallest of seed. You know, to what can the kingdom of heaven be likened? And he talks about the mustard seed because when it grows, it becomes the biggest of shrubs where all kinds of birds can gather together.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a parallel to really all the people, all the nations
mm-hmm.
being included in the kingdom of God.
Yes. Now, they may have also been thinking somewhere along the line about the Jews that were living in other places. I mean, there was a diaspora of Jews. There were a lot of Jews in Greece. There were a lot of Jews in present-day Turkey. There were a lot of Jews in other parts of the Middle East. So maybe these guys were thinking, yeah, we got to evangelize them. But the thought of you also have to evangelize the Gentiles that are there suddenly took that number of Jews and multiplied it by millions.
Yeah.
Which makes for a whole big outreach.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's again, not to overuse the term radical, but it's a pretty radical idea that now all this stuff we've been doing is for everyone.
Yeah.
Because we've been raised with the idea that we are the only covenant people. God only has a relationship with us. And now all of a sudden there's Gentiles that are coming to faith in the Jewish Messiah and being baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like we were at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, they're truly going to be, you know, be a light to the nations.
Yeah, exactly.
They're truly going to be a light to the nations because now the Holy Spirit they're empowered by the grace of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim this message in boldness and in truth, but with the grace of God.
Yeah.
They're not working on, they're not just laboring at this by themselves. God goes before them to prepare the way.
Yeah.
And
what
fruitful.
An example, too, of the Holy Spirit leading with this whole thing of Peter and Cornelius.
Yeah.
You know, angel comes, guys go get Peter. Holy Spirit says to Peter, go with those guys.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. Peter, stay with us and teach us.
Yeah.
And then he gets back to Jerusalem. And they go, hey, what are you doing over there?
What's going on down there?
Yeah. And, you know, I've always been amazed by the fact that these Gentiles who don't know anything about the Hebrew scripture would come to faith in the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily Cornelius, but all these people in Turkey and Greece and Italy and Macedonia and all these places where Paul went and Peter went, you know, they were sitting around saying, oh man, I hope somebody shows up pretty soon to tell us about the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the level of how things were communicated back then, it took, you sent messengers.
Yeah, exactly.
There weren't phones, there weren't TV, there's no internet or anything. Things couldn't be disseminated like they are now.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, were people just sitting around going, I wonder when those Jewish believers are going to, I wonder when those circumcised believers are going to get here and we're going to have salvation.
Yeah.
Probably didn't even think about it.
That's right.
And then somebody shows up in your town, they're preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel that your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
And they do. They receive it. They believe.
Yes.
It's amazing.
That's the part I can't get over, because if you take, like, there were Jews in Rome, and there were a lot of Jews in Greece, and there were a lot of Jews in Asia Minor, and if they were faithful and observant, they had this idea that someday Messiah is going to come.
Right.
Someday the Redeemer is going to come. That's what all the prophets have told us. That's what the Torah tells us. And so they had some anticipation of Messiah, just like even when John the Baptist started his ministry, people in all the surrounding area started going to him.
Right.
Because they knew the time was short.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the Christ? Are you, you know, who are you? What's going on? Because they thought, well, maybe he's the Messiah.
Right.
But the Gentiles who lived in these places, they weren't sitting around waiting for a Messiah to come.
No, probably not.
No. I mean, they were worshiping Venus and Jupiter and Zeus and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, these Jewish evangelists show up and preach the gospel, Holy Spirit falls, and then all of a sudden you've got churches of Gentiles that are now basically, that are following the Jewish Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and are reading the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's totally transforming. Totally transforming.
And Jesus had told them, you know, you preach to the Jew first and then the Gentile, and they generally did that. You know, they also had to preach to a lot of Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And, how about, since we're in Acts 11, how about read 19, 20, and 21? That's pretty neat, too.
Sure. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews. There were some, is it Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. And look at 21. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they were going to these places. Because after the persecution that started with Stephen, not you, the other one, these evangelists went out and were preaching only to the Jews.
Yeah.
But then there were some people from Cyprus, from Cyrene. They started talking to the Greeks, Hellenists mm-hmm. or the Greeks, preaching Jesus to these Greek Gentiles who are pagans. I mean, these guys had temples to Zeus everywhere. And Aphrodite and Artemis and all those gods. I mean, there were hundreds of gods. And it says the hand of the Lord was with them and a great number believed. So this was the example of, I mean, if you've been worshiping Zeus all your life and this band of people show up from Jerusalem and start telling you about the Jewish Messiah and you believe that and you come to faith and you're filled with the Spirit and you're baptized, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It is amazing. And, you know, there's, I'm reading through the passage here. You know, as this goes on, it says the hand of the Lord was with them and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And then the news about them reaches the ears of the church in Jerusalem and they send Barnabas to go to Antioch.
Yeah.
He arrives and sees the grace of God. He rejoices and encourages with them to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. For he was a good man filled with the Holy Spirit of faith, and a large number of people was added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul, mm-hmm. who was Paul, mm-hmm. and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And then it says, for a whole year they met with the church and taught a large number of people, and it was at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians.
Yeah. Now, Antioch was not a Jewish city.
Exactly.
It was a Gentile city.
Yeah.
And can you imagine for one whole year, Saul/Paul, Barnabas, and some of these other guys stayed there for one whole year with all these people assembled, and they were teaching and preaching, and they were making, as time went on, more and more and more and more believers.
Yeah.
And then people in the town started calling them Christians.
Yeah.
And can you imagine being there listening to Paul and Barnabas for one whole year?
No, that'd be awesome. That would just be like, wow.
Yeah. And it's a far cry from what the quote circumcised believers thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This was not in, although had they read our guy Isaiah a little more closely, there's a lot of, you mentioned a few of the verses, you know, people who aren't looking for me are going to find me.
Yeah.
People who don't know me are going to know me. I'm going to say, here I am, here I am. I love that quote because Paul tells us in Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit.
Right.
So I can just picture these guys who just came from, you know, going to the temple of Zeus or Artemis or somebody,
mm-hmm.
and they come across Paul and Barnabas doing a little teaching on the street corner, and they sit there going, what are these guys talking about? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit acts on them and says, hey, listen to these guys, because what they're telling you is true, and they become believers.
Yeah. The town of Antioch was not the same.
Woo! It would have been cool to go to the Antioch church there for a year.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean,
could have been the music minister.
Could have been. Could have been. But yeah, really, to have Paul and Barnabas there at the same time. And, you know, the astounding thing is word of this reaches the believers in Jerusalem. So they send Barnabas down to Antioch to see what's going on.
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on up there?
Now, okay. First we get this. First it's Cornelius' household. Now we get a report that there's something going on in Antioch.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of the Lord is spreading this gift of salvation as God desires, you know, as God intends.
Yeah. And when they say the hand of the Lord was with them, you can imagine they were probably doing miracles. There were probably healings. There were probably manifestations of the Spirit. And people were saying, wow.
Yeah.
And also, you know, God uses everything for his purposes. Even things that are bad can be used.
Yeah.
You know, even our stupidity can be used. And the spreading out was fueled by the fact that there was persecution around the time Stephen was killed.
Right.
So a lot of the believers went out into these other places, which now made a bigger and bigger mission field.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't have thought about before.
Right.
And it says they went and they preached Jesus, just like when Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, I preach Christ or Christ crucified. That's all I talk about. That's all I preach. And these are, you know, powerful evangelists that used to be, I mean, Paul wasn't an ordinary guy, but the rest of them that were up there were kind of ordinary guys before
fishermen.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fishermen and, you know, and then now they're bringing in the harvest.
But you're right. The persecution sets into motion people being scattered or dispersed into other areas. So they're going to take that good news that they have with them and start to proclaim it there.
Yeah.
They're not going to sit dormant on it.
Yeah. And Paul and Barnabas, over this period of a year, they kind of begin this church. They disciple the people. They add more people. They're not only preaching and teaching, but it sounds like there's miracles and manifestations of the Spirit going on. Everybody's encouraged. Everybody is excited. And I would love to have been there.
Home groups are popping up left and right.
Yeah. And Barnabas is so excited, he personally goes to Tarsus to look for Saul.
Yeah.
Because he says, Saul, you got to come check this out.
Woo. It's incredible. I mean, the work of, you know, it's the movement of God. It's just the grace of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people go, how did you get connected with these, you know, this group or that group?
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Of course.
By the Holy Spirit.
Of course. That's not music already, is it?
It is. Yeah.
I think we should just keep talking.
I think so.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you're encouraged by the passage here in the Acts of the Apostles, and that you would be open to the Holy Spirit and receive the Holy Spirit with a faithful heart and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.